don't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show this Friday, December 20th, 2024 edition. Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us in this hour every Friday is Pastor Rusty Chatfield. He always does a history lesson for us. And today he texted me ancient history, the 10th Amendment and the Everson case of 1947. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good to be with you again. The reason I called it ancient history is because nobody bothers with the 10th Amendment anymore. I mean, it's basically people just...
The very last Bill of Rights that we did in the first 10 amendments to our U.S. Constitution.
Right. Listen, without the 10th Amendment, there would be no Constitution. The people that were known during this time as anti-federalists, really, they should have been known as federalists. And the opposing side should have been known as nationalists. But if it's kind of a rule in politics, if you can label your opponent something, it sticks.
Right.
So when the Constitution came out, Alexander Hamilton, which was really a nationalist, he wanted more power to the national government. People like George Mason, Patrick Henry were known as anti-federalists. But really, they should have been known as the Federalists. They wanted a federal form of government, but they didn't want so much power to the national government. So the Constitution was, you know, written and approved by the convention in September 17th, 1787, but it had to go back to the states. And one of the things in some of the pivotal states was, hey, we're not going to approve of this. We're not going to ratify this Constitution. There's got to be some amendments here. We needed to secure our civil rights, okay? But also, something very important here. We need to make sure that this very loosey-goosey Article 1, Section 8 phrase, which is known as the initial, necessary and proper clause.
Right.
Hey, we don't like that at all. In other words, the necessary and proper clause says that... the Congress has the power to do all things necessary and proper to execute the foregoing powers. And everything in this Constitution, if the Congress thinks it's necessary and proper, they can, you know, they can make the law. And it says, and they said it's way too wide open. No way. We're not with that hanging there.
Sure.
And so we had the 10th Amendment, the last of what we call the Bill of Rights, which is really very important. But it's ancient history. Why I call it ancient history? Because nobody cares. Courts don't care anymore.
Right.
It's in a way.
And even the state legislators don't enforce it on the federal government. Explain to the people what is the 10th Amendment.
Okay, it reads, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states, respectively, or to the people. In other words... federal government, national government, if this Constitution doesn't specifically give you the power, or states, it says, if this Constitution doesn't specifically deny you the power, there is one section in our Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, which is known as the powers denied to the state governments. And there's some things that the state government can't do. Okay, state governments can't enter into treaties. State governments can't coin money. State governments can't emit bills of credit. Can only use gold and silver. State government... Well, I'll come back on the other side.
Absolutely, absolutely. Specific things they can't do, well, guess what? If it's not granted to them, it stays with us, the people. Short break, we'll be right back.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north. And you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Discussing right now the 10th Amendment, the final amendment to our Bill of Rights after they ratified the U.S. Constitution. 4 years of debate, arguing back and forth. December 15th, 1791, they said, okay, guys, we need to come up with this list. We have to enumerate the actual Bill of Rights that we believe the Constitution was short or lacking, specifically defining what our rights are. And that 10th Amendment, Pastor Chatfield, bottom line, if U.S. Constitution does not grant it to the federal government, doesn't grant it to the state government, those rights, those powers stay with the people. Is that the bottom line for that?
Close. Again, let me read it. That's close to the truth.
Okay.
The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution. In our Constitution, we have what are called delegated powers. Here's what national government can do. There's a listing of it.
Sure.
Okay. Nor prohibited by the Constitution to the states. There's a list of things that the states cannot do. I read a few of them. You can't do impost taxes on goods coming from one state to another. You cannot, without the consent of Congress, do a bunch of anything. You can't enter into any agreement with another state. They're Ohio, Michigan, we can't enter into an agreement with another state or with a foreign nation or engage in war unless you're actually invaded. Okay, so there's a list, Article 1, Section 10. Here's the things you cannot do, states. Here's the things that you cannot do, states. But to the federal government, the national government, here's what you can do. Okay, they didn't list everything you can't do. They listed some of the things.
Right.
There were prohibitions to the federal government. You can't have ex post facto laws. You can't have other types of laws. Can't have a double jeopardy. There's some things you can't do, but those powers not given to the specifically given to the national government, and those powers not specifically denied the state governments, are reserved to the states, respectively, or to the people. Not just to the people. The state government can do it, according to our Constitution. They
sure
can do it.
Right.
If the state of Michigan, as originally written, wanted to set up a state church and tax people to go to the Anglican church, they could have done it. They could have done it. Because the Constitution never said they couldn't do it. It said the federal government can't do it. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Didn't say a state couldn't set up a state church. As a matter of fact, Massachusetts had a state church until 1830. First Amendment and all the Bill of Rights just prohibited the national government from doing it. It didn't have anything to do with state governments. If the state wanted to do something, you know, take away your gun rights,
right?
Then they could have. They could have. Now, I would point this out. Article 6 of our Constitution says that this Constitution will provide, guaranteed every state, a Republican government. Unless you could, it's a very broad idea. In other words, you can't be a free state without gun rights, which I would argue. But there's nothing in the Bill of Rights. The Second Amendment refers only to Congress. Only refers to the national government, not state governments.
Let me ask you a question on that point then. We have the Second Amendment. We all know what that is, about a right to bear arms shall not be infringed. But you're saying that per the 10th Amendment, states can pass laws regarding our firearms, which is what the Democrats basically did in this last legislative session. And that's permissible under the United States Constitution? Is that an accurate question for you?
Yes, and yes, as originally understood and written. Now, today, that's not true. That's why I call it ancient history. Nobody cares.
Well,
you don't care.
I care
about our history. Okay.
Here's my point. Are you saying then, based on what they did at the state level, these gun laws, safe storage, we just heard another story today. A parent, I believe her grandparent, had a loaded firearm and is going to prison because the law kicked in the day before his grandson picked it up and shot himself in the hand with the handgun. He's going to prison because of the safe storage law. The parents of the Oxford High School school shooter, the mom and the dad, are in prison for 15 years because of their purchasing the gun that caused that kid to have access to it, and he killed those kids at Oxford High School. These laws need to be challenged in court to determine whether they're unconstitutional per the U.S. Constitution?
Let me see if I can explain. See, what we think now is, the Democrats in Michigan, they can't take away our rights. We're going to appeal this to the United States Supreme Court. Hey, appeal to the state Supreme Court. Article 1, Section 6 of our state constitution. You said it on the radio many times. You said we have the right to keep and bear arms for protection of ourselves and of the state.
Right.
So they can't, as originally understood, we had a state constitution, which the one we have now is 1963, but way back to 1837, which secured for us our right to keep and bear arms and prevented state government from taking away our right to keep and bear arms. Our state constitution prevents the legislature from doing that. As originally written and understood, and everybody understood this, the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution had nothing to do with states. That had to do with Congress. That had to do with the national government. That's why in our state constitution, we have amendments that protect our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, our gun rights. It's in our state constitution. Now, at some point, and this is true, now that the Democrats have left-leaning judges have a very firm grip on our state Supreme Court, they don't care what the Constitution says. They don't care.
Right.
They don't care. They just don't care. So we have to, now, for practical reasons, if all these laws that they're passing, they're going to work their way through the courts, Lord willing, and then we're going to take them to the United States Supreme Court and have the United States Supreme Court overrule our state laws. But I am telling you, the way it's originally written, the Supreme Court couldn't do that.
Well, here's a text message from Bob down in Hillsdale. He's listening online, and he goes, the states cannot pass gun laws. The U.S. Constitution forbids that. The Second Amendment does not mention Congress.
It's the whole thing was Congress. The whole, listen, and you'll have to do the history in case you care. Anybody cares.
Yeah.
The Everson case of 1947, let me introduce that, was a bad case. That was where they basically institutionalized what is known as the Doctrine of Incorporation. That means that the Bill of Rights doesn't just belong to the federal government, restricting the federal government. It now restricts the state government. That's when it institutionalized what's called the Incorporation Clause. It was never understood like that before. Let me back up a little bit. It was tiptoed around. The 1947 settled it. The beginning of this was the 14th Amendment. Okay, and I have to back up here. Okay, at the very end of the Civil War, we had the 13th Amendment that freed the slaves. Okay,
right.
You know, prohibited slavery. The 14th Amendment secured for freedmen constitutional rights or civil rights. And it said, no state shall deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. It's the first time, the 14th Amendment, after the Civil War, that the Constitution says, state, you can't deprive these people, and it's talking about freed slaves, of their God-given right, of their God-given civil rights. And then the 15th Amendment secured the right for voting. But before that, the federal government would not tell a state what it could or could not do. It did because it didn't have the power to do it.
Sure.
It had no power to do it. Now, that is such ancient, that's why I call this ancient history. Nobody cares anymore. We all think, and we will, rightly so, because we have no choice, appeal to the United States Supreme Court and say, overthrow the state law. But really, the court, as originally written, as the Constitution is originally written, originally understood, and originally practiced for 100 years, didn't have that authority. Did not have that authority to do that. But now that's our only option. That's what we have to do, and I get it. And again, so this, I don't want people to misunderstand me, but as originally written, states, the Supreme Court didn't have this authority. I'll back up even further. Even the whole notion of judicial review was questioned. Abraham Lincoln, in other words, can the United States Supreme Court, can they declare an unconstitutional national law unconstitutional? Do they have that authority? That was questioned, let alone declaring the state law unconstitutional. And, you know, in 2015, when the Supreme Court, basically what it did was strike down all state laws that prohibited same-sex marriage.
Well, I got to correct you. It wasn't a state law. They were all constitutional amendments.
Okay,
to the states.
Right, which is even more strong. So they
more egregious as to what they did.
Yes, but the Supreme Court says no. This violates this person's equal protection under the law, the Equal Protection Clause, or whatever. See, they took state constitutions and just swept them away by their court decision. They were never empowered to do that.
Yeah.
That's not their power. Now, again, I call it, that's why I call it ancient history. Nobody cares. It is so built in that even conservatives now say, we're going to take this to the Supreme Court because we have a much more friendly, much more conservative Supreme Court than we do have state court. So that's just the pattern of what has happened here. So this incorporation clause in 1947 introduced this. It was a guy named Arch Everson, who was in New Jersey, and he didn't like the fact that the state of New Jersey was reimbursing people who were sending their kids to a Roman Catholic school and with state money. He says that's a violation of the First Amendment.
Right.
Okay. This worked its way all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. And the court ruled that the law was the idea that the New Jersey could reimburse Roman Catholic parents because it treated religious and secular schools equally and because it went to the parents directly, not to the schools. It said, now watch now, and you know this, the Supreme Court says this does not violate the First Amendment. This does not violate the First Amendment's separation of church and state. What? First of all, the court had no rule, had authority to rule on it. Second of all, what are you talking about, the separation of church and state? Where is that in the Constitution?
Right.
It's not in the Constitution. So
it's not anywhere.
It's not in. Well, right. They quoted Jefferson's, you know, there's a wall separation. Hugo Black, who wrote the opinion, said no tax in any amount, large or small, can be levied to support any religious activities or institutions, whatever it may be called, or whatever form they may adopt to teach or practice religion. You can't take state money to support religion. It's in our First Amendment. Well, that's wrong. I've told you, Massachusetts had a state church, and they used tax money to promote the Congregational Church, which was their right as a state. The United States Constitution didn't prohibit that.
Right.
Didn't prohibit, you know, and so they did it, and that's the way it ruled. But since 1947, everybody wants to say, well, separation of church and state, it's not in the Constitution. It's not in the Bill of Rights.
It is nowhere. Absolutely. We'll talk about that on the other side and get back on track. Final half hour of a discussion with Pastor Jeff Field. Bomb the Hour News. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, your award.